It was kind of cold, and then when you're holding water, handing it out to people with no gloves, it was kind of like, all right. So I tried to let other people hand out the water, but sometimes you just had to do it. But it was a lot of fun. In the holiday season, there's often things that it's a time when you begin to think of things that you want or things that you're hoping for and things that you like. In my family, one of the things that we've always done is we give each other Christmas wish lists, and that's pretty much what we go off of. And so it's usually common that you'll get what you want. So this is kind of a time when we begin to think about what you want, because with Black Friday deals and stuff, people are always asking me, where's your list? Remember one year, there's not a lot of things I like or that I feel like I want, but one year my wife decided, she knew that I loved cheesecake, which I do love cheesecake. And so she just decided, I didn't ask her or anything, but she tells me, for Christmas, I'm going to make you a cheesecake. And I was like, oh, well, that would be great. Like, you don't have to do that. But she's like, no. I'm going to make you a cheesecake. I know how much you love cheesecake. I'm going to take care of this for you. So I'm like, all right, great. So now I'm getting excited because I love cheesecake, and it had been a long time since I had cheesecake. And so I'm getting, like, amped for this cheesecake. She says she's going to make it. She goes, and she makes this cheesecake. And remember the day of we're going to eat it, I go to take a bite, and I, you know, put my fork in there, and I put it in my mouth, and I'm like, what is this? I was like, I mean, it's okay. And I was like, what did you make this with? And she's like, well, the main ingredient they said in cheesecake was cream cheese, and we didn't have any, so I just didn't use it. And I was like, okay. I was like, so it tasted okay. It was kind of like some kind of egg custard, but it definitely wasn't cheesecake. And so even though it was kind of nice, I was so set on cheesecake that when I came in, I was just like, this is not satisfying. Like, this did not, like, meet my heart's desire that I was coming in like, yes, cheesecake. And it was like, no, that is just didn't happen. And it wasn't satisfying, and it wasn't happening. And that just kind of ruined that moment where I was just like, oh, man, like, what a letdown. And today I want us to take a look at what is the only thing that truly satisfies. So we're going to take a look in John chapter 7. And we're just going to be looking at a couple verses here. We're going to be looking at John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. You can turn there if you like, or pull it up on your phone. But while any of you are doing that, I just want to give you a brief background to what's happening here. There's a feast going on. This is called the Feast of Tabernacles or the Feast of Booths. And basically what this was a chance for the people of Israel to take some time away and remember their heritage, remember where they came from, specifically to remember their time as a nation in the wilderness, in the desert, while they were wandering around waiting for God to take them into the promised land. And so they would make these booths, and they would all go for a week, and they would, instead of living in their nice houses, they would sleep under these little tents or little booths that they would make for themselves to try and put themselves in a position to think through what it would have been like for their ancestors as they were in the wilderness. And part of what's going on for them as they're doing this is they're remembering all that God did for them, that there were ceremonies and rituals that were purposely there to help them remember how God provided for them and how he watched out for them and how he looked after them. And so that's what's happening. And in the midst of this is Jesus has already done some miracles. As if you've been with us the last couple months, you've seen as we've walked through the first couple chapters of John. And so people are beginning to ask, well, who is Jesus? And some people are saying, well, he must be the Messiah. And some are saying, how could he be the Messiah? He's from Galilee. Like, nothing good comes from there. And there's all these things, and people are wondering what's going on. And Jesus comes up and he begins to teach, and people are still kind of curious. But with this idea of the tabernacle of what's going on, Jesus stands up and he says this in verse 37. It says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Okay, so he stands up. And when it says he stands up here, he's in the temple area. So there's rituals going on and all this. And in some moment of pause, Jesus stands up in front of all the people, drawing attention to himself. And he says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. And this would have been especially poignant for the people, because part of their rituals and stuff was to be remembered times in the wilderness, like when they had no water and they were going to die if they didn't get water, and then God caused water to come flowing out of a rock. And that story, that idea of God providing living water for them, would have been fresh in all the people's minds. And so by Jesus standing up and saying, come to me all who are thirsty and drink, they would have connected the dots. They would have seen what he's kind of saying. And even after this, you'll see, I'm not reading it, but some are still saying, okay, maybe he's God. And some are saying, no, he can't be God. But they could tell by Jesus saying this that he is making a declaration saying, I'm the one who provides living water. I'm the one who satisfies. I'm the one who provides. That is me. And so all their eyes would be there, and they would be thinking of that. And when Jesus says these words, he's not just talking about physical water. Obviously, he's not sitting there with cups of water or something, giving it out. Just like we looked in John 4, often the idea of living water is something that's referred to more in a spiritual sense of having eternal life and having sustenance and life and restoration and all of that kind of life that God gives to us. That is what he's talking about here. And so what Jesus, in a sense, is saying in these words are, he's saying, come to me, all who are thirsty, all whose souls are dry, who are weary, who are depressed, all whose life has not gone the way you've wanted it to go, all who are just so downtrodden, come to me and drink. And by that, he's saying, come to me and I will satisfy you. Like nothing else can, I will satisfy you. And so he's making an invitation to people saying, I am where you will be satisfied. I am where you will get that refreshing. I will be where you get that. And so some people get it and some people don't, but this would be kind of mind-blowing to them, be like, all right, wow, here's where it is. Now, for those of us who've been believers and have said, yeah, I've come to Jesus, we hear those words like, oh, great, yeah, we know Jesus is the one who satisfies. We know that Jesus is the one who does that. But I have to ask us, do we really get that? See, because if Jesus is the one who satisfies, and if Jesus is the source of living water for our lives, that means our lives should be marked by the presence of living water. See, I find so many of us, even as Christians, are dry. We're weary. Life has beat us up. We're going through life, and we're not satisfied. We find ourselves identifying with people who are starving, who are saying, I just need that refreshing. And we find ourselves in that position. And I think the reason this is because we don't understand the second part of what Jesus says here. First is this invitation that says, if you've never come to Jesus, he's saying, look, you come to me and drink. And you will be satisfied. You will be provided for. You will be saved. I have living water for you. And then he says, for all those who believe, streams of living water will flow from within you. Now, I want you to get that picture in your mind for a minute, because this doesn't say like streams of living water will flow into you. Okay, it's not like it's not a picture of water flowing into you. This is a picture of water flowing out of you, from within you coming out. See, and this is where I think we have a big misunderstanding, because a lot of times when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when it says streams of living water, he actually tells us right here in the scripture that what it's talking about, what Jesus is talking about, is the Holy Spirit. So the streams of living water is the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit in your life, constantly providing that refreshing and that restoration and that satisfaction for your life. It is there all the time. But this is how we often, I think, treat the Holy Spirit. And we even say this. You'll say things like this. We've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know the image that usually comes to mind? Is like you take a cup and you pour water in it and it's full, right? But then what do? You drink from the cup and it's now empty. And you go, okay, well, now I gotta go get filled again, kind of thing. But what's interesting is that's not the image here that God has given us, is it? The image that Jesus has given us here is not one of, here's a cup and fill it. The image he's given us here is, you will have streams of living water flowing from within you. It's a constant flowing kind of thing. It's not a, here it comes flowing. It is a all the time, always going, filling, flowing, Holy Spirit, refreshing, life-giving source that is always there, that is never ending and never stopping. See, I think what we've missed is that God, the Holy Spirit, is desiring to continually be your source of satisfaction, be your source of refreshing, be your source for life, for all moments of every life, no matter what is going on. That he's always there for you all the time, and that you don't have to wait to be filled, that it's there, that you can kind of let his Spirit flow through you in a way that just constantly refreshes, that you can constantly kind of just take a drink from the stream as it flows within you, and it will constantly refresh you. This doesn't mean that your life is perfect or that everything is going to be like always should be joyous all the time in the sense of like I'm always happy. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is in the midst of your sadness or hurt or whatever, that you constantly have a stream of living water that is flowing from within you, that is there, that you have access to night and day, never without ceasing, that can refresh your soul so that when you are going through a hard time, that you are acting and feeling and being different than somebody who doesn't have Jesus. Because your life is marked by the living water that is Christ. Because you have come and you have drunk of the living water, and the streams of living water are there. So one aspect for us is this, is we have to begin to understand that the Holy Spirit who is in us is constantly wanting to refresh you. He's constantly wanting to pour out his Spirit on you. And when we don't have that, what that means is that we have turned our eyes away from the one that satisfies. It means that we have looked for refreshing somewhere else. We have looked for satisfaction somewhere else. We've looked for rest somewhere else, and not in Jesus, not in the Holy Spirit. Because if you look for your refreshing and your rest and your restoration in Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Spirit, then you will always be refreshed. Even in your sorrow, you will feel refreshed. You will feel loved and satisfied by God, because that's what he's promised to do. But when we turn our eyes and say, no, I'm looking for satisfaction in a job, or I'm looking for rest in a vacation, or I'm looking for something here, not that any of those things are bad, but when we do that and we take our eyes away from Christ, we take our eyes away from the Holy Spirit, then we're looking for satisfaction from the wrong place, and it just won't do. It's like thinking you're going to eat cheesecake and find out you got an egg custard instead. It won't work. And so we need to just turn our eyes. He's already there. I want you to know this. Even here it says this. It makes the note here that says the Holy Spirit had not yet been poured out. Before Pentecost, we didn't always receive the Holy Spirit. But since Pentecost, since when the tongues of fire came down in Acts chapter 2, when you believe in Jesus, you receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so if you have come to Jesus and drank of Him, you have the fullness of the Holy Spirit in your life. And so you don't have to do something special to get Him. You have Him already. And so it's simply a matter of you focusing on Him and opening yourself up and surrendering to Him and say, God, would you refresh me? Would you restore me? Would you satisfy my heart? Because no one can do it but you. And that's the process for us. Now, there's another important thing I want us to pay attention to here. When it says streams of living water will flow from within you, this is an important part because I never get this because I know how imperfect I am and how all of us are. But the way that God chooses to operate so often is that for people who have never heard the name of Jesus, who have never experienced the living water of Jesus, that God decides in His infinite wisdom to use us to bring that living water to them. So in a sense, what this is saying is if we are the streams of living water, that we are now conduits through which the Holy Spirit, that living water, is supposed to flow to all those around us. So I want you to get that. That means we are the ones who are bringing living water, streams of living water, to everyone around us. And this is super important because for so many people who are around us, they do not have any knowledge of or access to the living water that is Jesus Christ except through you and me. And so when we believe in Jesus and we've drunk of Him, have been satisfied by Him, then we're supposed to let the Holy Spirit be flowing out of us, that living water, streams of living water, be flowing out of us, from within us, flowing out of us, so that all those around us will be able to taste and drink and see the love of Jesus, the person of Jesus. And so we have now become the conduits through which that living water flows to those around us. We get to participate and people coming and having their hearts finally meet Jesus. The sad thing about this is that we haven't got the first part, where we realize that we are constantly refreshed by Jesus. That means that we're not really letting God flow through us, because we've decided to turn our eyes away or just ignore it, and then we live impoverished lives. We live like we don't have the Holy Spirit. We live like we don't have that constant refreshing and flowing of the Holy Spirit. And so because we live that way, then people don't experience the Holy Spirit from us. Because if we're not experiencing it even for ourselves, we're sure not giving it away to anybody else. We don't have anything to give. But when we begin to let the Holy Spirit flow through us and realize that we have that constant capacity to receive the refreshing of the Holy Spirit all the time, and we can let others experience in that, then it changes us. And that's why people begin to ask, how can you be so at peace when your life is in chaos? And you say, well, it's the Holy Spirit. How can you be so full of joy when you've just gone through horrible things, death in the family or something like that? And you go, well, it's because of Jesus. See, people notice when we have streams of living water flowing within us. And they notice when we don't. One of my questions for us today is, are you allowing streams of living water, the Holy Spirit, to flow through you in constant refreshing and life-bringing? Or are you living a life that says, I don't have enough, it's not enough, woe is me, all the time? Because even though you have streams of living water, doesn't mean that you're choosing to let that flow in your life. Just to give us another picture, I remember when I was in When I was in high school in Germany, we had like a sort of like a underground fed kind of fountain thing. They're in Germany all over the place. They pour, it looks kind of like an old-fashioned water pump, and they pour into like a horse trough. But the water itself is really drinkable as long as you get it before it hits the water trough that's just sitting there. Obviously, I wouldn't drink that. You would get sick. But the water itself that comes out is just constantly flowing, and it never stops because it's fed by this underwater stream. So it never stops. It just keeps on coming. And this was some of the best water I ever tasted. And what was great about it is, like, we would come back from, like, I was in sports all the time, so we'd come back, and we'd go get, like, these, like, liter cups. And we would just go outside and, like, put it under the thing, and then you could just get it. So anytime we wanted, we'd just run it out there day or night. You just go and just get it and drink it, and it was wonderful, and it was so tasty, and it was just great. And it just kept coming. And I remember sometimes you just come looking and be like, does this ever stop? And I never saw it stop. In, like, 9 years, never saw the water stop. Just kept flowing. See, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about streams of living water. It's an idea of a water system that just keeps going. And anytime you want a drink, you can get a drink. But you could just keep drinking and it will never matter. You could drink as many liter cups of water as you want. It will never stop. But I feel like so often it would be silly if I was like, man, I'm really thirsty and I need water. And I'm standing next to this ever-flowing water system, and I'm going, would somebody please give me a drink? And people are like, "What? There's water right there." And you're like, what water? I don't have water. I think that's where a lot of us often are at. Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. And for those who believe in me, streams of living water will flow from within you, restoring you, refreshing you, and pouring out for those who have not yet tasted. This is what I would like to do today. I'm just going to lead us in kind of a time of prayer. There's going to be kind of several parts to it, kind of like we do sometimes. We do the prayers of people. So just kind of, if you just sit where you are, and I'll just ask Minsu just to come play some music in the background. But I just think there's different parts of this for us to respond to and just listen to the Holy Spirit. So would you pray with me? God, I just ask right now that you would just bless us and that your Spirit would move in us as you desire. And that you would point out to us the areas in which we need to respond to you. Just want to give all those in the room who need this opportunity to, if you have set your eyes on things other than Christ, if you have been looking for satisfaction, if you've been looking for rest or restoration in something that is not Jesus, maybe it's a job or family or success or prestige or something, if you've been looking for life anywhere but Christ, it will not work. It will not satisfy. And so I just want to give you an opportunity today to repent of that and say, God, I'm sorry that I have looked for life, that I've looked for the source of life anywhere but you. And I just want to give you a moment right now in your seats to repent of that. Say you're sorry and put your eyes back on him. So for a moment, let's just do that, and then I'll lead us in a different prayer. Thank you. there are others of us in this room who just need that stream of living water. So I just want to invite you to receive that this morning. To, in a sense, put your cup in that water flow and say, God, I need a refreshing this morning. So if you are weary and heavy laden, come to Jesus. Receive the Holy Spirit afresh in a way that says, God, would you refresh my soul? Would you restore me? Would you satisfy the desires of my heart? So I just invite you now to come and call upon him and say, to ask for those streams to flow afresh in your soul. And so especially if you're needing that, say, God, would you flow fresh in me today? Would you bring your restoring, your refreshing presence in me? So in your own words, where you're at, call upon him. Finally, if you're willing, I want you to ask God to make you a conduit for his Spirit. He wants you to be. So what I'm asking you is, I don't want you just to say a prayer because your pastor's up here telling you to do something. If you are honestly willing for the Spirit of the living God to flow through you as a stream of living water to touch the people around you so that others would finally get to taste and see that the Lord is good. They would be able to receive the living waters of Jesus Christ. If you're willing for your life to be a conduit for that to happen, for streams of living water to flow out of you, if that's something that you want, that you desire, that you say, God, would you use me so others can be refreshed, so that others can be satisfied, I want you in your own way to tell God that, to say that to God, to say, God, please do that. And in that prayer, maybe some of you need to ask a prayer to ask God and say, God, what is it that is blocking your Spirit from flowing outside of me? What am I doing that's hindering other people from seeing you in my life? Maybe that's something that some of you need to pray and ask the Lord that he would reveal that to you so that there would be no blockage of the flow of the Holy Spirit, the streams of living water flowing through you. So if you're willing, would you pray a prayer like this? God, we thank you that you are a loving God. We thank you that you have said, anyone who is thirsty, that we are to come to you and drink. We thank you, God, that you have said that streams of living water would flow from within us. God, I just say that I am so sorry for how often I allow my focus to shift and my desires to shift from you to other things. I'm so sorry for how often I look for satisfaction in everywhere else but you. How I look for rest in everywhere else but you, and I'm sorry. God, would you help me? Would you help us to be a people who continually and constantly look to you and you alone for the source of our being? Would it honestly be true for us to say with all of our being that you, O God, are enough for me? That you are enough for us, that no matter what is going on in our lives, that because of your life-giving presence, you are all that we need. Would that be true of us, God? God, would it be true of us that we are the people whose lives are markedly different because of the flowing presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That the continual refreshing of Christ would be present in us. That those around us would see the difference and would say, "What is it about you?" And we would say, "My God is good. My God loves me." God, finally, would you make us your instruments? God, would you clear all the blockages, all the things that are keeping your Spirit from flowing through us? Would you convict us and would you make it apparent, whatever those things are? And would you allow us to just be the people who let your Spirit flow through us so that those around us may know you? Our desire, God, is that your Spirit would flow so freely through us, that you're refreshing us as you do that, but not just for us, that those around us would know you, that they would taste of you, and the living waters that is Jesus Christ would spread. And that all the streams of living water in this room would, in a sense, form a torrent of water that takes our area by storm. So more and more people would come to know you. Because you and you alone, God, are the only one who saves. You and you alone, God, are the only one who satisfies. You are the provider. And so we ask, God, would you restore? Would you fill? Just hear these words again. If anyone is thirsty, come to me.
Jesus, come. Come.